Well, you know what? Guess what? Today we're really celebrating freedom, aren't we? Not just because we saw fireworks last night, but we come and what we hopefully are experiencing every day is Independence Day for us. Every day we celebrate freedom as Christians. Maybe not. As we studied Mother's Day and Father's Day, we realized that every day is Mother's Day, every day is Father's Day. Well, you know what? When I looked at this, I realized every day is Freedom Day. Every day is Independence Day. And I thought when we got together, maybe we would celebrate Interdependence Day, being the church. We're interdependent on one another, not codependent or independent or alone, but interdependent. No? Maybe. Let me say, just because you haven't seen it done perfectly doesn't mean it's not true. Let me say that. Many of you come from all kinds of backgrounds and churches, and those of you visiting, thank you. We're just glad you're with us today. But you've had experiences, and it hasn't really been pleasant sometimes. That doesn't mean it's not true. We can go off. Okay. But as I say all that, let's just go to prayer this morning, and with this thought, as I began to think about all this business of Independence Day and 4th of July, I began to think, where did freedom really come from? Where does it originate? Freedom, the word freedom. So we're going to dive into that. Let's pray. Father, we need your help this morning. Lord, as we open your word, Lord, let us be attentive. Lord, our ears be open to hear your voice speaking this morning, Lord. Lord, we don't want to hear any other voice, Lord, but what you are saying. So, Lord, as we open the scriptures, Lord, speak to us. Lord, as we go to your word, Lord, just speak to our hearts. Lord, reveal to us, Lord, the nature of true freedom. And, Lord, its availability to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you volunteering for VBS? Dave, are you up? Maybe. We'll talk. Uh-oh. But where did freedom originate from? What's its origin? Who invented it? Where did it come from? Now, when we think about freedom, and as I just pondered it for just a second, a few things popped into my mind. Many of you, some of you, most guys have seen Braveheart. The movie Braveheart, William Wallace and freedom. Well, he didn't invent it. He was just in it. You know, he was fighting for it. Not to downplay oppressive governments and regimes, but William Wallace did not invent freedom. How about our founding fathers? Did they invent freedom? No, they didn't. They set out some basic foundations and structure for government, but they didn't invent freedom. Now, the 4th of July, we celebrate the birthday of our country, and it's a great country. However, freedom isn't found by living in America. Real freedom, the freedom that counts. So where did it originate? Well, let's go back to the beginning of where everything originates in Genesis. Now, Genesis, I tell you, there's Bibles in front of you, or if you're in the front row, guys, there's Bibles behind you in the seats. Genesis is real easy to find. I believe it's page 3 that we're going to. 1, 2, 3. And this isn't where we're going to be camping. It's just where we're going to launch from in Genesis chapter 3. And we're beginning, where is this business of freedom coming from? And we're going to go to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to begin just at verse 8. And I'm going to read maybe a handful of verses down to, maybe 13, 8 to 13. It's a very familiar story. It's the beginning of the Bible, and it's what we're reading is the account of the fall, Adam and Eve. So let's begin in verse 8. And they, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Well, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "Hey, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." I love that. Adam, what'd you do? Well, it was, "Woman, what is this that you have done?" See, as we can brush over that because it's familiar, but if we pause for a moment, we realize that before this moment, Adam and Eve lived in perfect freedom. Just let that sink in a minute. Perfect freedom and liberty. And as you continue to read what God says first to the serpent and then to Adam and then to Eve, you realize that Adam didn't even really rule over Eve until after this point. So there was a freedom in walking with God in the garden. They didn't know anything else. That's all they knew. They didn't really even know to call it freedom. It was just the way of life. But they found out there was another way of living. There's another reality that came in. And as I begin to ponder this, we are faced with a reality that there, the concept of freedom also carries with it the ideal of bondage and captivity. Okay? Otherwise, it would just be. So, in these early moments of Genesis, we find freedom lost. And then many things were introduced about that. If we read back a little bit earlier than that, maybe back in chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, we find the serpent making a promise to Eve. And you can just glance back if you want. I'll read it to you. "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, this has got to be one of the most anticlimactic moments in the Bible. You know, we're reading it and we're watching this account unfold, and here's the serpent saying, "Eve, there's a greater level that you can live in. You can be like God. You can have knowledge you don't know of." So Eve is expecting to be like God. She's expecting to be inheriting a new level of whatever it was she was hoping for. The serpent really promised a new experience in life for Eve. So she ate it. And as soon as she ate it, she's looking around saying, "Hey, this isn't really exactly what I expected. I'm not quite feeling like I thought I was going to feel. I'm not seeing things quite the way I thought I would see them." And this greater transcendent level, what she found out was bondage and captivity. She'd been lied to. She really had been deceived. She wasn't lying when she said that to God. I have been deceived. And all this is going somewhere. So what we find in the very beginning is that she and they are no longer free. They are now slaves. And she realized that quite quickly. "I was deceived and I ate." And she knew right away that promise from the serpent was really a lie. She believed the promise, it became a lie. And now she's led astray. And Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 11, that it was the craftiness of the serpent that led Eve astray. He says, "Listen, I hope your minds aren't led astray either by that, just as Eve has been." And he looks at Eve and says, "Did God really say?" And we're familiar with this, aren't we? Serpent says, "Did God really say it?" So she begins to doubt it and think there's this greater level of living available to her, and so she goes for it, and she finds out it's not there. And through this act, sin entered the world. Now we have bondage. We have captivity. We have sin We are now slaves. And not only are they slaves, they're children, and their children, and their children, all the way up. As many of us were, and some of us are. So I say all that to say, without the events of Genesis 3, there's no need for freedom. It was just a reality. Okay? Now, this may be just common sense for some, but I wanted to pause and think about where the idea of freedom comes from. So without Genesis 3, we don't need a war. There's no bondage. There's no tyranny. There's no such thing. It begins here. So the idea of, America is a free country and our founding fathers founded a free country. We can trace that need to be free back to here. Because otherwise, it's just the state of being. Does that make sense, or are you just all confused? All right. It's interesting, as we read in the account, they were free to eat anything in the garden except out of the one tree, but they were free. They were not free after this, and neither were we. So freedom is only introduced in light of bondage, in light of captivity. And so Adam and Eve fell, and now all of man is in bondage to sin, and sin is now their master. But we can look down a few more verses in chapter 3, verse 15. And God makes a promise. We have the serpent making a promise, and now we have God making a promise. And he says this in verse 15, and we're moving on. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise the head, and you shall bruise his heel. Take a giant leap forward. You don't have to turn there. If you're taking notes, you can write it down. Luke 4:18. Jumping ahead to Luke 4:18, Jesus is one of his first words of his ministry. Do you remember that? Where they unrolled the scroll and he says, listen, in your hearing, this has been fulfilled today. Do you want to know what he said? He says this. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. This is out of the NIV. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Well, some of them are hearing him going, wow, this is the Messiah. Like, yeah, there's some prisoners around here. But he's not talking about a political prisoner. He's talking about what happened in Genesis chapter 3. There are prisoners walking about, and I'm here to proclaim freedom to every single one of them. That was Jesus. So we have the promise from God in Genesis 3:15. You can cross-reference that to John 3:16. Or come to Luke 4:18. Jesus stands up, and what does he say? I'm here for what? To proclaim freedom. Because they needed it badly. And it's same is true for us. Like, aren't you so glad? We sang, he makes all things new. Aren't you glad that when you come to a house of worship, you're singing about a God that makes all things new? Not everybody's singing about that. I have to make all things new. I have to do a little bit better. No, not here. That's not who we serve. And we're way ahead of ourselves at this point. But Jesus says, I'm here to proclaim freedom. Freedom? What? What? Freedom? What are you talking about? We're free. The law, we got all this stuff going on. We got this temple. Have you seen it, Jesus? It's beautiful. He's like, there is a freedom coming. So we go back to the origins and we find that freedom is a God concept. It is. Because it didn't have to be. They were created that way. They messed it up. He could have left it. But he says, no. There's somebody coming that will bruise the enemy's head. And Jesus shows up and says, I got a message. And you know what it's about? Freedom. Do you know who it's for? The prisoners. Wow, I don't know any. Yo, it's you. Which they'll find out. So we're not dealing with Jesus isn't dealing with the externals in terms of them being locked up in bars. That may be of where they went. He's talking internally. Prisoners. Those of you that are prisoner to things, there's one that has come to proclaim freedom. Now, let's jump to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians, tucked away in the early parts of the New Testament. If you have the Black Bible, it'll be 974, 975. If you don't, good luck. It's after Corinthians. Give you hints. Galatians. Which, as you're turning, I'll tell you, this is the Magna Carta for the Christian. Freedom is declared all over this book. And we're going to just look at a couple. This is huge. So there's going to be two prongs today. First of all, Jesus has come, and he continues to come. And you read the book, he continues to cry out for releasing of the captives, freeing of those imprisoned. So if you find yourself in prison today, to no matter what it is, whether you've never been made new, perhaps you're still a prisoner to sin and destruction and all of that, he's saying, listen, I got freedom for you today. If you find yourself in habits, things you cannot break, you're imprisoned in it, depression, anything, he's like, I have freedom. Freedom. Like, freedom? Like, you mean release? Yeah. I have that. It's amazing. If we just think about that. This is who we came to sing about. This is who we came to talk about. I have come with freedom. So, we're at Galatians chapter 5. Did I even tell you what chapter? Chapter 5. Verse 1. We're just going to read verse 1 for now, then we're going to jump down to 13. Look at this. Paul, writing to Galatians, says, listen, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Now, again, where did the yoke of slavery come from? Really, originally? Because this is important. We have to know where we've come from. We kind of know the destination, but we have to know where we've come from. If freedom is the destination, well, how did we get to where we are? And what do they say? If you know your destination, or if you know your origin and you know the destination, it's going to help with the route. Christy becomes increasingly frustrated with my driving. I have no idea why. But lately, there's this little GPS thing. And some of you have them, and you play with them, and you're trying to get them to work, and some of you are just better at that. Well, I have this thing, and I have to put in the origin and the destination. And usually it's why you're driving, right? Well, maybe that's just me. But for your GPS, you have to put those two things in, don't you? Unless you're doing a search. But let's say you're trying to map a route. You've got to have a beginning and you have to have the end. And if those are wrong, your route's wrong. The route, the route, the route, the path, the directions, they're wrong. So if you believe Jesus does not offer freedom, hey, like, your destination's wrong. So your route's going to be wrong. Your life's going to be wrong. You're going to make decisions based on these fixed points. So we got to come to this and say, listen, I just sang a song that says all things are new. Is that true? Yeah, well, I opened this up and it says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Well, it's freedom. And it says he set me free. Well, it doesn't say from what. So I can say, well, it's free. Yeah. Wow. Well, so the songs match this. That's good. That's a good thing. Is it okay just to question that sometimes and not just blindly sing stuff? Okay. So, in Galatians chapter 5, it says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." So what's the nature of Christian freedom? In these two prongs we're talking about, listen, is the Lord comes to offer freedom from sin and its consequences. And I'll tell you, the people Jesus was looking at in the synagogue, in the temple, when that scripture was written, they were not off the hook. He says, "I've brought freedom now." So we have to come to grips with, through one man, sin entered the world. And we just read about that. That's how it happened. We all inherited that. We all carry it. My dear, beautiful children carry it. Sin. Now, Christy says that comes from my side of the family. Not really. I made that up. She brought a little bit. I have a little more, probably. But sin, we have a problem, just as they did when Jesus looked at them. We all have it. Okay? And there's one way to deal with it. Well, there's many ways to deal with it. There's one way to effectively deal with it. And look around at all the religions and read your charts and Google them all, and they're all trying to deal with it. But we know there's one way. To the Father, that is through Jesus, who proclaim freedom. It's unapologetic. Okay? That's good news. That's called the gospel, right? We have a problem. We have something we have to admit. And then we believe the words of Jesus, saying, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and whoever comes to me." Yes, I want that. So there's freedom from the guilty conscience of sin. And then there's freedom from the fear that many of us lived in, that we had to earn our way to acceptance to God. We had to earn it. And some of you will shake your head and say, "That is a foolish thing." But if you pause and think about the way you live, you'll realize that many of us live that way. So we're talking about a freedom of acceptance with God. And then we sang about, and we prayed earlier today, about a freedom in access to God. Not only acceptance, but also access to Him. Freedom. And this is a pressing issue for us, as much as it was for the Galatians, as it is now in the 21st century. Freedom. So, many of you are sitting here saying, "Yes, I realized at one point in my life, whether it was at a church camp or you were older or wherever you were, and the Lord called you and you realized, hey, I got something I got to get rid of. And this is somebody who can take it." Yeah, freedom. Many of you have come to that place. And then we come to Galatians and we read, "For freedom Christ has set us free." And then we flip down to Galatians 5:13. And he continues to say, "For you were called to freedom, brothers." And he says, "Only don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The context of this is Paul's writing to them and saying, listen, you were called to be free. He's reminding them. Because there were many people coming into those churches at the time saying, listen, you have to be circumcised. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to do this. And they're going, well, what are we to think about this? They were beginning to be put under the bondage that Christ wasn't sufficient anymore. It wasn't Him. There was more things to do. And if we sat here long enough, we could come up with a lot of things that we do the same thing. So it's not just those poor people. It's very relevant today. And I know it's very relevant for me. So in Galatians 5:13, listen, he starts by saying, for freedom Christ has set us free. He goes to verse 13, says, for we are called to freedom. So, okay, I'm born again. I'm made new. I'm free. Now, what does it mean then to walk out freedom? What does it mean to walk out in freedom? One of them we touched on, and that's the freedom of access into the Holy of Holies to commune with him. But in a day that in reading this, this is intensely practical. It has great theological implications, but it's intensely practical for us. How do we walk out freedom? What does it mean? Oh, I know I'm free. Well, even that maybe we should define. When you come to the Lord, freedom means we are not under the power of sin anymore. I have this written down. I want to get the word of that right. We are not under the power of sin. It has been broken. However, the effects of it still remain. Why do you think we do what we really don't want to do? So in saying you are free from it doesn't mean that you'll never struggle with it. You don't stay there because it's for freedom that he sets you free. Like, well, I may struggle today, but there's freedom. And there's a way to walk this out. And we're all in different areas, all working through different things, okay? He looks at them and says, these people coming in to try and bind you up and put you under more regulations and more laws, listen, you brothers have been called. We should just stop there for a moment. It doesn't say you strived for it. It says you have called, which is God taking initiative again with us. What do we see back in, let's go back to Genesis again. What does it say? God showed up in the garden looking for them, calling out to them, talking to them. It wasn't God hiding himself from them. They were hiding themselves from. Do we understand that? That is awesome. He initiated contact. And Paul is saying the same thing. Brothers, you have been called. He called you despite your pitiful state. If you feel pitiful this morning, hey, he's into that. He'll call you despite it. And these guys, these folks in the Galatian church, long before they had eyes to look at the Lord, he was gazing at them. He was coming to them. He called them. We can brush over these, but if we read that, it's like, oh my gosh, you were called. And every one of you here that has come to the Lord, you have been called. You didn't do it on your own. He didn't just go find God. He found you. He called you. And we could spend, there's a lot. But no, he's not hiding himself from you this morning, no matter what where you're at in your life. He's not hiding himself. He didn't stitch the leaves together and say, I can't look upon you. He comes looking. Hey, you're not where you usually are. You're not where we usually meet. Where are you? There were consequences, but he did go after them. Hallelujah. But I wonder, and we won't spend a lot of time on this, but I wonder if we're talking about freedom, if we would go through the streets of Manchester Township, we go up to Castler Park this afternoon, or we go down in York City and we would interview people and say, when I say Christianity, what's the first word that comes to your mind? Do you think freedom would be anywhere near the top of the list? Yeah. No. And that's challenging. If I went around and said to people, look, when I say my name in Christianity, what do you think of? Freedom? I'm not so sure. It's very challenging, isn't it? They might say, well, Christianity, that really binds you up quite a bit. It's a bondage, really. You'd hear all kinds of things other than freedom. They have all these other concepts of it because they watch us. Or they live with us. Or they live next to us. Well, there's all these things that we can't do as a Christian. We can't do this, we can't do that. He says, listen, you were called to be free in verse 13. And don't let your freedom, don't use it as an opportunity for the flesh. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, for freedom, Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore. Don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. Listen, you've been set free. Don't go put handcuffs back on. Don't go back into bondage. Don't do that. I set you free. Don't leave one cell and go into another one. You know, don't get out and then go lock yourself into another one. And this has great, great implications for our walk. In verse 13, 14, he says, you were called to be free, but do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Well, some of your translations might see sinful nature. You might have sinful nature written there, right? Don't indulge the sinful nature. Some of you with the King James, I think that's what you have. That makes reference to the fallen human nature that we have had. And then verse 14, but through love serve one another, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, and why is that important, and how does it lead us walking out freedom day to day now? Let's talk practically about this. I get that he came and set me free of my sin. Like, I'm made one with him again. I'm reconciled with him. That ministry of reconciliation, I get that. But how do I walk out freedom? And as we look at the Bible, we realize that not everything is listed in the Bible. We don't read about every single situation that will ever, ever, ever incur. It's not spelled out black and white, is it? Have you ever looked for things going, man, I really want to know what's right and wrong, but it doesn't just say it. Maybe? No? Yeah, okay. The Bible's clear about some things. It's clear about a ton of things, actually. But it doesn't say everything. Doesn't just give you a list of what to do in every situation. Now, I'll explain that because there's a difference between that and principle. There's principles in here that need to be applied. However, every single situation is not listed. That can be a little frustrating for us at times. But how far does freedom extend in regard to my behavior? When that behavior is not explicitly forbidden in Scripture, oh boy, now we're walking in, oh, let's talk about walking out in freedom. If it's not explicitly forbidden in Scripture, what then? If you have a teenager or you've spent any time around youth in a youth group, you're going to get a couple questions fairly often. Hey, can we do this? Hey, am I allowed to do that? And they're asking you, hey, is it in bounds to do this? They want to know. And frankly, sometimes you don't have chapter and verse to say, well, that exact thing right here, let me show it to you. Let me get my concordance out and look that word up. Oh, yep, right here. So how much freedom do we have to walk that out? And we have real freedom. I mean, either Christy sang it or we had it on the words that, you know, listen, Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Like, that's real freedom, isn't it? It's real. It's not just some abstract idea. However, our freedom does have constraints. And when we read that in Galatians 5, that constraint is found in our relationships with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Interdependence. And watch how this plays out. There's two extremes that we'll find in Christian freedom. And I'll use an illustration of when we were young to get this. We lived in a village. It was in the middle of nowhere. It was a very country village. And to get to the town, to get anything, you had to... There was a couple ways to go, but typically the way we went as a young guy, as I remember looking out the window, we had to go down into a little gully and back up again. And it was a quarry. It was a massive limestone quarry. And we would kind of come down. It would always be dusty. And at that bottom, the trucks would kind of go across. And when you looked at it, on the left, there was large cliffs. And when you looked on the right, there were large, it seemed to be dropped off. It was fairly close to the road. So we just kind of did the little dip and parts of it just. And I used to think, ooh, what if we drove off there? Or coming back, what if we went off there? I don't know, maybe that, was that a boy thing? Or do people do that? I don't know, maybe I just wondered that. I'm just, what if we ramped off of this? Wonder how bad the station wagon would wreck. You know, that's when we rode in the back with the seat folded up. No seat belts, no car seats. Wasn't that long ago. Yeah. But with that picture in mind, let's look at this. There was two sides of this thing as we went down the middle of it. One side, let's say the ditch number one or the cliff drop-off, as we're talking about the expression of Christian freedom, would be legalism. It can be expressed in legalism. Now, many of you think, well, legalism and freedom, they don't go together. But, they do. Legalism. And if we're not careful, we can drive this place right into it. And many of you have probably experienced it to some degree. I'm going to touch on it. Legalism defined, and if you haven't, praise God. But some of you, this list is going to bring back memories. Legalism is an approach to Christian living that turns absolutely everything into a list of rules and regulations. We're not interested in principles. We're not interested in applying Scripture in a broad context. We want it much more wooden. Details, our little list details do's and don'ts. And our lists vary depending on where you go. So if you go to this church and they have a list, you could go to another church across town and they have a different list of what you should do and you shouldn't do. Some people wonder why you're not invited to sing on the choir or on the worship team in this case. Or you're not invited to teach or whatever until they produce a list. And then you see the list and say, oh, well, I didn't know chewing was on it. You know, and you're like, oh, well, and it's Wrigley's. Like, I didn't know that. List of things that sometimes are not communicated, but you're judged by a list. So what happens is, in those cases, spirituality is based on how well you keep the list. I don't know if some of you have been to a place like that or you've experienced it. But the results are that people have to live trying to measure up to getting the list done. I took Benjamin and Ruth to the airport on Friday. They flew to visit family in Florida. And of course, Ruth worked all day. Benjamin had to pack all the everything. I went over to his house and packed, and I went to his house, and he hands me two bags of garbage and says, "Hey, you got to take that out for me." And he's got his bag, and he says, "I finished my list." Ruth is a list person. I found that out. I didn't know that. But here, Ruth had a list for him to complete. And he told me on the way over, my wife likes lists. I said, "All right, well, we're done, right?" Because they're locking up for a week. He gets in the car. We drive over. She works at AC Moore. She gets in the car after 9 hours of work, and she's pregnant. And she said, "Did you get the list done?" That's the first thing she asked him. And then, "Hi, hon," and they kissed. "Did you get the list done? Did you get the list done?" And in those kind of environments, if you refrain from the don't list, then you're spiritual. And it becomes very easy. Give me the list. I don't do anything on it. And now I'm a spiritual person. Legalism. And now my freedom is found in making the grade on the list. The list might not be hard for you, and so you're right in there. And there's a lot of freedom in that. You're just doing your list. But what we don't realize is that legalism stifles true freedom. It'll confuse your conscience and kill the power of the Holy Spirit quicker than anything. And it's a curse, and it's a quarry that many fall into. Now, the other extreme, the other one we can fall off of, and I think this will probably be a little more thought-provoking, is legalism on one side. We can fall off by just claiming license to do whatever. Freedom. I'm free. It says, "Christ set me free." I'm free. I was called to be free. That's an absolute opposite extreme. And when you hit the bottom of this quarry, everything's acceptable. Everything. You judge everything based on your conscience. And as long as your conscience tells you it's okay, you do it. Let's pause for a moment and think about this. Because this is probably where we could get in the most danger. I speak corporately. Legalism, I don't know. Yeah, we could do that. In this quarry, we meet people that are engaged in activities that even go against the teachings of Scripture. We'll run into them, but their conscience is okay. And they're okay with it. It's free, the freedom. It's an expression of Christian freedom. I'm free. I'll give you a thing to ponder for homework. Go back and read Genesis 27. Is that Jacob deceiving Isaac? How did Isaac get deceived? He was deceived because it felt right and it smelled right. But the voice wasn't quite right, but it was okay because it felt right. That was huge. As long as our conscience tells us okay, it's okay. We're free. We're flowing free. We have to be very careful because we may have just drove right off the cliff. Yeah. License says I can do what I want with whomever I want, whenever I want, because I'm free. And then we can tag on the fact that my past, present, and future sins are forgiven. That's a good deal, because I'm free. So So what are we left with? Two extremes. Freedom expressed, legalism, or just free. We'll just do it. It feels good. Smells good. I mean, it's got to be God. But see, it's a freedom for the Christian is a huge paradox, because we only find true freedom when we are in bondage to the Lord. This is huge. Freedom is found and discovered when we come into bondage with Jesus Christ, who in turn turns our hearts to our neighbors. And we're reading that right here, verse 13. Listen, don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Listen, it's not a free-for-all, but through love, serve one another, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you can't do that unless you are just locked in with the Lord. Not free from him, not independent from him, but locked in with him. And I'll give you just three quick rules, or not rules, I should just say maybe measures, when we need to face them in regard to our behavior and our expression of freedom within relationships. And if you're going to be making a decision, you know, think in the exercise of my freedom in this circumstance, are people brought closer to God? Whatever it is. And we'll just take a shot, like drinking. Oh, that will get letters written to us. And drinking, should I drink? I haven't found explicitly a scripture that says to not do it. But do I do it? And we can get into all things are permissible, not all things are beneficial. That all plays out in this expression of freedom. But in the exercising of it, are others brought closer to God? Are other Christians strengthened in their faith by my exercising of this freedom? Doing it. And here's one I liked. Are my brothers and sisters, are my neighbors, are my brothers and sisters glad they know me? Or can they not stand me because of the freedoms that I partake in? It's much easier to go to a church that has lists of rules. The challenge is to live with the application of principles as they relate to issues of life. That's tough. That takes a dedication to knowing what the Bible says, first of all. And that's why we bring ourselves together. There are rules in this book, but not for everything. That's why it's important, and we're continually challenged to transform our minds, renewing of our minds. It is so imperative that we get the fabric of the Scripture in us. We have to. Not the law, not more bondage, but the fabric of it, the essence of Jesus and the truth, the applications of the principles as we're expressing freedom. Legalism or a free-for-all? And I'll close. I heard a story recently of a man who was severely wronged by another Christian for the tune of thousands of dollars. And as the guy that was wronged was talking about it, he said, what's the hardest to deal with is that the man that wronged me, he has to fill a paper out every year in church. He has to sign a paper stating they had a list. And at the bottom of that list of what he can and can't do, he has to sign it every year. And this Christian guy goes, I can't believe I'm wronged by him. I mean, he has to sign his name on this thing. It's not like he doesn't know what he's doing. But as we ponder that, what's the point? I think the point is, listen, has anyone ever given you a list that's changed your heart? I mean, God gave us the Ten Commandments. That's a pretty good list, and it didn't do it, did it? So in closing, maybe you're here this morning and you've not experienced the true freedom that Jesus Christ brings, that he offers, that he proclaims. Freedom of guilt of sins. Last night I snuck home a little early and sat on our lawn, and we could hear the music behind the orchestra playing, and the music behind they do play music behind the fireworks. And little good old Lee Greenwood, say every year. Yeah, and you can hum the song. But one of the phrases caught me. I'm glad to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. Well, you look around at your neighbors, and are they free? No. Genesis tells us we're not. And Jesus shows up and says, I'm here to proclaim freedom to you. There's no freedom outside of me. Is Jesus proclaiming freedom to you this morning? Do you find yourself a prisoner behind bars in areas this morning? And perhaps you're not experiencing freedom in an area of your life that you so desperately want. And maybe you need healing from a list experience. You've been under the list. There's freedom from that. There's healing from that. You can get healed from legalism. Lord, help us. Christy, you can come play out. Let's stand, and I'm going to just let you ponder the words. It's quite challenging when we're faced with the fact that we may not be free like we think we are, but that we're worshiping a God who says, I am not leaving you there. I'm not leaving you struggling, alone, and trapped. If you're a prisoner, I have come that you might have life and be free. We have folks coming to pray. There'll be folks over on the side to pray, or even over here, wherever they stand. If you need freedom at the heart level, and you do, you are being called. He's calling you, saying, it doesn't have to be this way. I'm here to set you free. And if you need set free this morning, answer the call. It's a serious thing, but it will release a joy that has eluded many of you. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's available. Areas of your lives that you may struggle in, there is freedom. You may not believe it, but it's true. That's why we're here. Freedom. Hallelujah. As I pray, ponder that. It'll be opportunity for you to come. You can meditate where you're at. It's a serious thing. I'm not going to manipulate you here to the front. You got to come because he's drawing you. We see a lot of people come front, but very few converted. I'll never pressure you. But God calls you. You know it. So come. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I thank you for the ministry of your word, the ministry of your Holy Spirit, Lord, upon our hearts, calling us, Lord. Father, they're not my words, Lord, they're yours, and somehow between my lips and their ears, Lord, you work power. So come, Lord, make it real to us, Father, drawing us, Lord, that you're calling us to freedom, true freedom. Release the captives this morning, Lord. Lord, release those that are shackled in bondage, Lord. Lord, the torment of the mind, sleepless nights, Lord. I pray rest. Those that long for rest, Lord, you would grant rest and peace through the release of the captives. Hallelujah. Father, give us wisdom, Lord, as we make decisions daily, Lord. Lord, as we walk out the freedom that you've set us free into, Lord, give us wisdom to make the hard choices. Lord, reveal your word where it seems unclear. Hallelujah, Lord. And let our actions, let our decisions bring others closer to you. Lord, let people praise the sound of our name because of what you're doing through us and in us. Lord, that they wouldn't, Lord, run away, Lord, when we come near. Father, but you would draw them as you work through us. Lord, I speak strength to those that are weary today. Strengthen us, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for freedom, Lord. Thank you that you make all things new. Lord, that the circumstances, Lord, the way my life is today, it's being made new. Thank you, Father, that you initiate, you come. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.